Happy November and welcome back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As some of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I got my first deck at around age 11 and have continued to use tarot as a healing tool throughout my life, eventually inspiring me to create and hand illustrate my own tarot deck of empowered women. The Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B is on sale now. You can check them out at badassbitchestarot.com. You can also buy the deck at Ace Hotel, Jill Lindsay, and various other retailers. We're moving through November, which is brought to us by the Truth Bomb King of Swords, reminding us to speak our truth and be impeccable with our word. This king also helps us to manifest the state of fulfilling love and abundance. That's November's other card, the Ten of Cups. For more in-depth info on November's cards, you can go back to episode 15 of this podcast. So before we bring on this week's guest, let's pull our card of the week. Okay, Page of Pentacles. I love this one. We've been getting good cards of the week lately. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, the Page of Pentacles shows a young man standing in a green field, and he's kind of excitedly holding this coin in his hand. The coin is a symbol of abundance, and it's also a promise of more to come because he's recently plowed the field. It's in great shape for an upcoming harvest, saying that, you know, you've done the work, more is on the way. The Page of Pentacles symbolizes the ability to manifest a personal goal or dream. As pages represent youth and new beginnings, this often indicates the new possibilities and potentials that await you once you put your mind to it. In my deck, this is Reese Witherspoon's famous character, Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. Whenever I see Page of Pentacles, I always hear her voice regarding getting into law school. What? Like it's hard? This is definitely the attitude and enthusiasm of Page of Pentacles. So we have good things and just continued optimism for this upcoming week. With that, I'm so thrilled to introduce this week's guest, astrologist and tarot reader, Sesha, the creator of DarkSideAstrology.com. Hey, Sesha, how are you?
I'm great, and you?
Good. I'm so happy to have you on.
I'm really happy that you invited me on.
I know. I love all of your work in tarot. I think so much of what you do is so inspiring. I've been following your Instagram, obviously, for a long time and have had the pleasure of working with you in person. So I especially kind of going into this Scorpio season, I really wanted to kind of talk to you about how you started in your tarot journey and ask you some more specific questions. So I know that you've been reading for a really long time. How did you get started?
The tarot, I guess, was first brought to my attention when I was 15, and me and my friends kind of like just used to play around with it. But then I started practicing myself at about 23, in my early 20s, and I just fell in love. And I've always had a thing with playing cards since I was a little girl, and I guess it was just natural for me to just delve into the tarot, and I really enjoyed learning about it, and I used to read myself a lot first, and I guess that's basically how I started. It was just more out of curiosity, and I always had a connection with cards.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny. I did as a child, too. I always loved playing cards and playing card games. And people, whenever I read, I'm like a fancy shuffler. So people always joke about that. And I'm like, yeah, I love since I was little before I even started with tarot. That's funny that you were drawn to that as well. It's kind of a sign.
That's how I feel, too.
Right?
I love shuffling cards.
Yeah, I find it really kind of like meditative and therapeutic.
Yes.
The other thing I love about your site, Dark Side of Astrology, and a lot of what you post on your Instagram is that you really are kind of an expert in astrology as well. So did tarot lead you to astrology, or did astrology lead you to tarot, or was it kind of you learned about both at the same time?
Well, no. Astrology was the first thing that I, it's always, my mother's into astrology, so it was just always a part of me. And at 12 is when I really started, it's when I learned that I was a Sagittarius, and I asked, what is a Sagittarius? And that was it. I fell in love with it. I was like, what is this? It's a centaur. This is great. This is so mythical. And I've always had a thing for mythology, and I guess just literature and history, but maybe that comes with being a Sagittarius. that higher learning.
Yes.
Right? And so astrology was basically like the mother of it all. And then I just delved into tarot, and it's just, I feel like they both go hand in hand. Obviously they do, because a lot of the tarot decks have the astrology symbols, no?
Right. And it's so funny because I, my first interest was tarot, and that's what I learned, similar to you. As you know, at a young age, I got my first deck when I was like in grade school. And then astrology was something I was drawn to, but I love, I have studied personally more, like obviously the archetypes of the cards, and then numerology is kind of my second area of expertise with tarot. But I love, it's one of the things I love so much about, working with you and the work that you put out on darksideofastrology.com is that you really do focus on the astrological rulings of the cards. And I think that there's so much you can learn from that.
Yes, it's true.
Definitely. I also, the other thing I have like a million things I want to ask you. The other thing I wanted to ask you is on your site, I noticed that you also work with shadow and dream work. Can you tell us a little more about that? I've done some shadow work, you know, worked with other healers, not myself personally. But for those of the listeners who haven't worked with those modalities, could you tell us a little more how you work with shadow and dream work?
So, basically with the shadow and the dream work, it's, I don't know, I guess it's my way of doing things too when I have, people who come to me for tarot readings. What normally happens is, they get really comfortable with me, my clients, and we start delving really deeper. So the readings become a thing that they want to do, whether it's like once a month, twice a month. I have, you know, some clients that do it weekly, and it's kind of therapeutic for them. And the shadow work comes in where I'm trying to help them kind of like see outside of themselves, kind of face their fears, you know, ask themselves why they're going through these fearful things. You know, why are they constantly thinking negative thoughts? Like, why is it so much more easier for you to come up with a negative thought than to come up with a positive thought? So I guess that's the kind of shadow work that I do with my clients. It's more like deep. It's more they're working through their I don't know if they're faults or just, you know, insecurities and just fearful thoughts.
Right.
And with the dream work, I do have, you know, some people that do, they'll tell me their dreams. And I try to help them find, like, the symbology behind it. You know, why are you having this type of dream? I'm pretty good with, you know, with at least giving some sort of interpretation to that, I guess. And I've always had a thing for dreams. Maybe it's my placements too. With my natal, I love my dreams. They're very vivid, and I tend to remember them. So I like hearing about other people's dreams to see, you know, where their mind is, you know, half the time, I guess.
That's so interesting. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of my kind of, I don't know, spiritual connectivity develops through dreams of things that I saw, like premonitions that, you know, literally came true either as I was dreaming them. I found out, like, you know, for one was that a friend passed away during the time I had this dream. Another was, you know, something that occurred with one of my best friends who was in Japan at the time. And it's, so I think that that is such an interesting, it's an interesting way to work through that. I have a, like, now it's just a selfish question, because you're good at this. I have not studied dream interpretations nearly as much. One that I have reoccurring is that whenever, and it's periods of stress usually, I dream that my teeth are falling out. And this is like ongoing throughout my life, teeth falling out, like, and I feel like I know it's going to happen. And I'm like, oh God, here it is. It's happening. What does that mean? And why does it follow me for years?
I think it has more to do with how you're going, like, you know, how are you reacting, you know, how are you going to react to certain situations? Because, you know, we have the wisdom teeth, right? So, and it's always like that toothache, too. So it's kind of like, you know, that pain, you know, are you overcoming this pain? You know, perhaps you're afraid of doing these transitions in your life, but then you come out the more wiser with them,
right?
You know, because you're saying that you dream it with stress. You know,
yeah.
Some people have like those dreams where they're paralyzed. I know a lot of people that do, and that comes with stress too. And like they can't wake up or move type thing. And that's just stress, and it's just you not, I guess, not really dealing with reality during the day. Like, you know, you're kind of like maybe dismissing it, and then it happens when you're sleeping. You're left with that. You have to deal with that stress, and, you know, kind of like, why are you being triggered right now?
Yeah. It's so funny because I've had this conversation with just other, not people that work in it, you know, the way that you do, but other people that have experienced that in dreams. And it's funny when you have the sensation of you've had a night full of very vivid dreams, but you feel like you got a better rest than when you don't remember your dreams. And it's, I think that's what you explained was just like, you said that so perfectly of that you're working through things that you kind of didn't allow yourself to. And there is something like healing and kind of, yeah, that does provide a deeper rest and kind of reset when you work through it, when you wouldn't allow yourself to in consciousness.
Right. Yeah. Because I feel that when we're sleeping, we're doing a lot more work than we actually realize. Because during the day, we're still distracted. We have to do this. We have to do that. And that's normally how everybody kind of functions, you know? It's like, let's say, for example, I don't mean to pick on a specific sign, but like, I tend to notice that Gemini people, they have a hard time relaxing and they don't really sleep well.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just spent today with a Gemini.
Just calm down.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's so funny. Yes. I just spent this afternoon with a really good Gemini friend, and she's like the queen of, like, you know, everything from like Ambien to natural sleep remedies. Like, yes, that's funny that I love you're always spot on with astrology. I'm like, it kills me. You're very accurate.
Thank you so much. I love it. It's one of my things. And I really want to delve into all the different aspects of it, but, you know, life happens, and sometimes, I don't know, the tarot is also something that I love both. To me, they just go hand in hand with everything.
Oh, yeah. And I think that the more you study and understand one, the more it helps you to kind of understand and navigate the other. So they really do pair beautifully and kind of help inform one another, which is another thing I love about both. So back to speaking of the cards, is there a card? This is what I love, this question for tarot readers specifically, because I often ask this on my podcast just because obviously it's a tarot podcast, but I feel like readers give the best answer. So I'm excited to hear yours. Is there a card in the deck that you feel represents or, you know, embodies you of the 78?
I never really put thought to that, but you know, when I do read myself, and I sometimes notice from people, when I do get read, I get the Queen of Pentacles a lot, and sometimes I wonder why. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm that grounded, and she represents that Earth energy. But I also believe in the cusp, and my birthday is December 19th, so like I'm between Sagittarius and Capricorn.
Oh, nice.
Sometimes I feel like I have Capricorn tendencies, and a lot of my chart is Capricorn placements, but at the same time, I feel like the Temperance, you know, the one that does rule Sagittarius in the tarot, and I feel like it's more just me trying to mix a lot of things.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing that.
Yes. So that's hilarious. I also, yeah, as it's one of the things, we have many things in common. I'm also Sag, and I feel like I often have a love-hate relationship with Temperance, but I do feel a connectivity to it. That's very funny.
Yes, because a lot of times I'm like, are you telling me I should mix it, or are you telling me I should just do everything in moderation?
And yes.
The majority of the time, I feel like it's the moderation.
Oh, yeah, that's when I have the hate relationship, where I'm like, I know that's what it's telling me, and I'm like, no, because I am Sag Aries rising, so I'm very excessive. And that's kind of, it's a blessing and a curse. And I get Temperance a lot to be like, okay. Yeah. So in addition to, I love that. I love both of those cards are definitely two of my favorites. So in addition to that, like, you know, in terms of representing you with Queen of Pentacles and Temperance, do you have a card that you love seeing as kind of, you know, like a good omen in readings for yourself?
I guess I've never really... I like the Pentacles a lot. I guess because it's that security and that stableness. I really love seeing them. And I want to say I think the Ten of Pentacles is always like, oh, thank God, you know?
Yes. Yeah, that's such a, yeah, it's such a, like, okay, now we can move through, like, some definite ease and abundance, which is, that's mm-hmm. a beautiful card.
Yes.
Totally. I love that one, too. I get very excited. Do you have a least favorite card or cards that, like, literally you're like, not again when you get them in readings?
The Emperor.
That's so funny.
I can't with the Emperor sometimes because I feel and also judgment, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's like the Emperor is just that authority, and it doesn't even have to be someone, you know, that's authoritative of you, but it's just like maybe that that like really like clear message. And the same thing with judgment, it's like, you know, you can't, like, with the judgment too, sometimes it's depicted with the angel with the horn. It's like you can't like dismiss those cards, you know, like it's in your face type thing, and you have to face that. And I don't know, those kind of make me hesitant.
Yes.
I'm like, great.
Oh, yeah. Judgment, it's funny. And, you know, I think that a lot of times it can be like looking back and like, you've already learned this lesson, and it's kind of an annoying reminder. And I feel like that too. It's funny because a lot of people that, I know, like, they love the Emperor card, and I don't know if it's because, again, we're Sagittarians. Like, I don't like rules so much, and both of those cards are kind of, like, authoritative and, like, rules to me, and those things I find very constrictive. So,
yes,
so I absolutely actually agree with you on those. It's funny because I've talked to people that they love the Emperor. I think there's definitely positive aspects of the Emperor. In my deck, it's Beyonce, and I think it's, like, strong. It's, like, you know, can be empowering. It's setting foundations, obviously, but, yeah, sometimes I get it, and I'm like, I don't really feel like want to be trapped in that box either.
Yeah, I don't want to be told what to do.
Oh my god, yes, all day, every day. Absolutely.
That's so funny.
So in addition to your site, thedarksideofastrology.com, where else are you doing any events? Do you do, I know that you do in person, do you do kind of Skype? I know you have international clients as well.
Yes, I do Skype tarot reading. I also do it through WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. And depending where in the area, I will travel to the person if it's not possible for them to come see me, or if they don't want to do it through social media. But there are still some people that like doing it in person. So
yeah, I'm so mm-hmm. excited. I've mentioned this in the past on the podcast several times. You know, you're definitely such an incredible. I love the work that you do. Like I said, both in tarot and astrology. So I was so thrilled when you agreed to come read at my launch party. You're definitely someone that I want to do even more work with moving forward. I think you're so incredibly talented. So I'm so grateful you were willing to do that. And
I'm so grateful that you invited me.
Oh my gosh! Thank you.
I look forward to this, and I really do look forward to doing some more work with you too. I like what you do. Just your whole tarot deck is just inspiring.
Oh my gosh!
That's great.
Thank you so much. Well, you as well. So I'm gonna obviously I've mentioned it throughout. I'm gonna put your website and your Instagram in the notes to this podcast for anyone. Definitely go check out both. Her Instagram is amazing. That's actually how we found each other. And I you know, love everything that you post, and I find it very insightful and usually like spot on in terms of, like I said, in terms of astrology and the tarot. So I think that's incredible. We're getting to the end of the half hour, but I just wanted to thank you again so much. And yeah, I look forward to doing more work together.
Yes, me too. And thank you so much for including me in this and giving me this opportunity. It's just great.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Thanks so much. How amazing is Sesha? I am so lucky to have worked with her, that she came and did such an incredible job at the launch party at the Ace Hotel, and I look forward to many more collaborations because she is such a badass Sag. I also love like the Sagittarian energy of like, yeah, no to judgment and the Emperor. I don't really want to play by the rules. It's like very accurate to how I feel as a Sagittarian as well. Definitely check out more from her on thedarksideofastrology.com. I'm happy to report we did have several coming out of the Spiritual Closet submissions this week after having a lull the week of Halloween. My personal favorite comes from Kai in New York City. Yay, NYC, finally being represented. Kai writes, "Hey, Cardsy, congrats on your new deck. I love the podcast and cards. Mine may actually be a reverse coming out of the spiritual closet tale, as most of my friends are pretty woo-woo and into the metaphysical already. I went on a weekend getaway with them and was the only one not really loving extended hiking and lack of heating and plumbing. I was embarrassed to admit this, as it made me somehow seem less spiritual because I love cities and working electricity." Oh my God, Kai, we are twin best friends. Number one, yes. Number two, free reading for you. And number three, girl, I hear you. I am actually, I'm actually working on something for us city witches, and you'll be the first one to get the invite on this, because I think that this is something that a lot of us, maybe not a lot, but there are enough of us that can relate to this, and there really aren't a lot of situations that are probably like something that we would love. That being said, no, it doesn't make you any less spiritual. Personally, I don't think it matters if you meditate in subarctic outdoors or you're at the Four Seasons. I think the most loving thing you can do for yourself is find your authentic self and give her what it is she needs to be able to evolve and practice in ways that bring growth. And that can look so different for different people. For you, it could be an herbal bath at home, or if you're an unlikely city extrovert like myself, walking through the streets of Manhattan can actually be extremely meditative. And I think because we're not in the majority on this one, we often feel like weird outsiders. But at the end of the day, you have to just trust your instinct and listen to your inner voice on what practices really feed you. I loved hearing from you, Kai. Thank you so much. And of course, loved, loved, loved our guest Sesha today. So to recap, November is brought to us by the Truth Bomb King of Swords, the Fulfillment Happy Family card, 10 of Cups, aka the Blondes, and this week brings us the Page of Pentacles, that enthusiastic, unstoppable energy of Elle Woods. Don't forget to check out CardsyB on Instagram, and if you get a sec, please rate and review this podcast. For New Yorkers, I will be this week at Journal doing in-store reading, so come by, pick up a tarot deck, and get some sexy lingerie Tuesday, November 6th. Also, check out my Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com for additional upcoming events that will be posted shortly. Thank you so much, and as always, stay magical AF.